An old children's story goes like this. One child asks another, "Would you forget me in an hour?" "No." "Would you forget me in a day?" "No." "Would you forget me in a month?" "No." "Knock, knock. Who's there?" "I thought you said you wouldn't forget me." Today we heard the story of the covenant God made with Noah. It is a covenant where God promises he will never forget us, nor any of the creatures he made. It is a covenant that promises God will never again destroy the earth because of the sinfulness of man, and as a sign of the covenant, this promise, God creates the rainbow, so whenever it is raining, God and all of us here who see it will remember that promise. The beautiful thing about this covenant, this agreement God made, is that it has no conditions upon it. It is a covenant without any if clauses, such as if you love me, or if you obey me, or if you worship me, or if you brush your teeth, or help old ladies across the street, then I will be good to you. It has none of that. No, the covenant God made with Noah is an unconditional covenant. It is a covenant of love, wherein God promises to remember us even if we forget him. And that is what God's love is like. He remembers us even when we forget him. No matter what we have done, when we stand at the door and knock, God won't ask who's there. He will instead open the door and welcome us in. God can be grieved by us. We can make God sad, we can make God angry, but God swore to Noah he would never be so angry that he would destroy the people and the world that he made. Despite our sinfulness, despite all we do to hurt each other and to hurt ourselves, God has promised not to abandon us, to not forget us and seek our destruction, but rather to remember us and his love for us. God wants to help us, not destroy us. And this is the meaning of the covenant sealed with the rainbow. And this is the meaning of all of God's covenants with us. God sent his Son instead of a flood to deal with our sin. And he died for our sin, and the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God and to allow us to live well, both now and forever. And through Jesus, God remembers us. In fact, through Jesus, God stands at our door and knocks, and he tells us, "Here I am. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, with me." So what then shall we say to this love of God? What shall we say about the signs of his love? The cross and the rainbow, the bread and the wine. What shall we say about his knocking at our door? What shall we say about his invitation to come and die? Recall today, as we begin Lent, my friends, the story of Jesus, and how after he was baptized, he spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted, and how he then went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news." God wants us to try our best to be like Jesus. He wants us to believe in his love. He wants us to know that he is near to us and ready to help us. He wants us to turn to him in faith and strive to be If the truth be told, I think that everyone here has not struggled quite hard enough with sin, and that we have sometimes given in too easily to temptation, especially in the simple things, the things like the temptation to gossip, or the desire to get just a little bit of revenge, or the desire to kid ourselves about our lifestyle and tell ourselves that it is really okay. There was a story told about a man named Sam. Sam wasn't made much headway with his diet. He had a hard time with it. He was one of those folks who could resist everything but temptation. And one day he came into the office with a whole box of freshly baked Danish. And when his friends questioned him about his diet, he explained that really wouldn't have gotten it if God hadn't been there for him. And so, "What do you mean?" one of his friends asked. "Well," he said, "as I was about to pass the bakery, I prayed that if it were God's will for me to have these Danish today, I would be able to find a parking place in front of the building. Sure enough, I found a space right in front on the 8th time around the block." Most of us have a tougher time with temptation than we like to think. We try to tell ourselves that the things that we do, the little things that hurt others or ourselves, aren't really all that important or all that harmful, or that someone else is really to blame for them. When we get angry or feel terribly anxious or upset, and then yell at our husbands or our wives, or rebuke our children and slight our friends, we often tell ourselves it is because of something that they did. It is justified by the circumstances. Our sins arise primarily because we do not really recognize the need we have to struggle with ourselves. Most of the things we do that are harmful and do not come out of some great issue which we must decide about, rather they arise out of the habits we have, habits that are comfortable and whose correction requires some effort. This Lent, I call you to examine your life, to look at all that you do, how you treat your family, how you act at work or at school, and ask yourself if you are taking the easy way, or if there is something you can do to be a more loving and caring person. I call you to examine how you live. Do you do your best to be aware of your environment? Do you really struggle with what you use and what you waste? And I call you to examine how you treat yourself. Do anger and fear constantly sweep over you? Does your daily walk take you constantly to extremes? Do you love yourself as well as God loves you? God, my friends, has something better in mind for us all than which we do or examine or experience. He's got far more for us, and we just don't get it. No matter what we have done, when we stand at the door and knock, God won't ask who's there. He will instead open the door and welcome us in. Trust God to help you, to help you struggle with temptation and with yourself. And ask God for his continual forgiveness and eternal blessings to be upon you in the world that his Son, Jesus Christ, died.